Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A three-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you on this wonderful Wednesday. We have so much to get into over the course of the next 3 hours. We are handing things off to Vern today at 5 o'clock as we get you ready for Royals pregame in lieu of Royals versus Yankees Game 3. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Josh Vernier will be on the show. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, we are expecting Rex Hudler to be on the show. In the 4 o'clock hour, we are expecting Eric Hosmer to call into the show. Today, we're supposed to be out at Kauffman Stadium. Some technical difficulties on this side, but you know what? I am here in the studio and everything is all good. We will be talking Royals for the full 3 hours today. I know, Chiefs fans, you want us to go through some hypothetical. Yes, I still want them to trade for a wide receiver. They are not trading for a wide receiver today. Everything will be just fine. We will get to the Royals coming up momentarily, but first, let's give you a chance to win a pizza.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. 913-586-7965. Caller number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tassio. Pizza Tassio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wine. So whether you're pretty hungry, like having some sort of postseason watch party and want a whole pie, or just a slice or two, be sure to visit them now at pizzatassio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City and you're also excited about Kansas City being back in postseason baseball, the best place to get that is with us right here on 96.5 The Fan. Usually at the top of the show, I would try to give you some piping hot take on today's game. I don't have that to start today's show. I think today, in a lot of ways, is a celebratory day, and today is really hyper-focused on three specific individuals or groups of people. Let's get into them. Number one, let's start with Salvador Perez. I think there have been, I don't just think this, I know there have been multiple times over the course of the last 3 years that Salvador Perez has been approached asking if he would accept a trade to another team. He has had opportunities to go play for the Chicago White Sox. He has had opportunities to go play for the Miami Marlins. He has had an opportunity to be reunited with Dayton Moore down with the Texas Rangers. he has had outside opportunities to continue his career over the course of the last 3 years. I think we can also say that given how the Royals were and the flux that they were in, I don't think anybody would have been upset. I don't believe that anyone would have faulted Salvador Perez if he had agreed and accepted a trade to go play for another organization. Salvi posts something in the Kansas City Star celebrating the fans. He comes back for a regular season game, gets the standing ovation that he deserves, and one day he goes into the Royals Hall of Fame. He gets his number retired. He gets a statue, and one day he goes into Cooperstown. But you know what? Every single time that this topic has come up, Salvi has quickly ended that conversation. He has never expressed a desire in wanting to go play for another organization. Today is about Salvi having the same feelings that he had a decade ago when this team ran this town, when everybody was wearing blue, when none of us had been to a championship parade. Now we're veterans when it comes to a championship parade. Today is about Salvador Perez being a bridge for two of the most important teams and players in Royals history. Whether it was being a bridge for Eric Hosmer, where he and his son are throwing out the first pitch today, or it's Bobby Witt Jr. And we'll get to Bobby Witt in a bit, but today is a celebration of Salvador Perez and how he persevered, how he stayed true, how he kept with it. And his reward was he got a chance to go back and play in the postseason sun in the uniform that he really wants to do it in. Salvi has no interest in going to play for the Yankees or the Padres or any of these other teams. Salvi wanted to do it here in Kansas City. And when many people thought that he would never play in a postseason game again, that he was just going to ride off into the sunset of his glory year, Salvador Perez is now in the middle of a team that has a legitimate shot of going back to a World Series. Today should be a celebration of Salvi, his perseverance, his longevity as a baseball player, and Salvi is back. It's like 2014 never ended. It's like 2015 never ended. Salvi is still one of the key run producers for a Royals team that is set to host a postseason game. The other player who is in that same vein is Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby stayed when a lot of those guys from the 14 and 15 team didn't. No slight, no shade towards them. Guys did what they thought was in the best interest of their career. Guys did what they thought was in the best interest of their families, but a lot of Royals players have been given the opportunity to stay and declined and said no. Bobby Witt Jr. would have had the ability to ride this thing out. He would have had the ability on the back end to be a free agent and go play for any baseball team he wanted to. It didn't matter if he wanted to be the shortstop for the Yankees. Didn't matter if he wanted to go play in LA. Maybe he wanted to go back home to play for the Texas Rangers. Bobby Witt Jr. at some point in his life was going to be faced with the opportunity to be that if that's what he wanted to be. He did something that not many young superstars in his position have done. It's easy to sign that long-term deal with the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Angels or one of those franchises. Bobby Witt Jr. has locked himself and the prime of his career to staying in Kansas City. He has locked the majority of his career, the best years of him playing baseball, to an organization that won 56 games last year, and he has never blinked in doing it. He said so after this team clinched a playoff spot. This is why I did it. I want to be here. I want to play in these games. I want to have these opportunities. I want to do it with this organization and these guys. That takes some strong belief. That takes strong belief in John Sherman. That takes strong belief in J.J. Piccolo and his staff. That takes strong belief in you, the fan base. This is a place that I want to be, I want to commit to, and I want to attach myself to. And he is playing in his first postseason game at Kauffman Stadium today. We saw what he did in his first postseason game in Camden Yards. He now gets an opportunity a week later to do that same thing in Kansas City and the place that he has committed the rest of his career to. And the last people that I think today is about, I think it's about us. I think today is about me. I think today is about you. I think today is about our city and our community and our love of sports. I don't care what the Chiefs have done over the course of the last 6 or 7 years, and they have hit the absolute height that you can hit in American sports. everything they do gets compared to what the Royals did in 14 and 15. Every accolade, every accomplishment, every parade that they have is always compared to that first run that we remember in 14 and 15. The 14 and 15 Royals have a cloud over this city and a hang over this city that no other team has. And we have seen some incredible Chiefs teams. They do not have the hold on the city the way that 14 and 15 does. Some of you have not bought new Royals apparel in over a decade because of your love of the 14 and 15 Royals. You still have that Always October hoodie, that postseason hoodie, that World Series hat with the patch on it. The 14 and 15 Royals hold a very special place. And today is a celebration of it being a decade or almost a decade since they won the World Series, but a decade since really all of this stuff started. And that hope, that glimmer, the possibility that we could be in the middle of another one of those kinds of runs. I don't know how this season is going to end for the Royals. Maybe it ends against the Yankees. Maybe it ends in the American League Championship Series. Maybe this team goes on to win the World Series. But I think when you're in the middle of it, you realize how different postseason baseball is than the NFL playoffs. And the NFL playoffs are glorious. And the Royals are going to play four times this week. They played on Monday. They play today. They play tomorrow. They might play on Saturday. That's different than how football is. Football is episodic. It is one time a week. You schedule it. This is something that you are in the middle of every single day and you ride the wave and emotion of it. Yesterday, one of our producers came in and he asked me, what do you think is so special about the baseball postseason? It's the fact that it can change at any moment. We all love the NFL. You never really get the sense on second and three that the game is going to be changed by this play. Every pitch in baseball could be a big hit or an error or a home run or something that drastically changes the probability of who's going to win the game. And you kind of forget that when you just have regular season games. But man, once the lights come on and the intensity and the crowd and the energy and the emotion kicks in, it becomes one of the best sports that you can watch. It's been incredibly fun so far. I'm expecting a great crowd later tonight. I'm expecting a great game between two really fun and competitive teams. Coming up on the other side, we'll head to Kauffman Stadium to be joined by Josh Vernier. We'll get his thoughts ahead of game three of tonight's game between the Royals and the Yankees. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I don't ever want to be in a position where you guys know what to expect on the show. You got to keep them guessing. You got to keep them on your toes. I know that you guys were expecting us to do the random lineup in the last segment. No. Josh Vernier, you know what? We're going to do the random lineup with you today. This was the lineup the last time that the Royals had a postseason game at Kauffman Stadium. Hit me, Rob.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
This was game two of the 2015 World Series, the last time Kauffman Stadium hosted a postseason game. Here is your lineup for the Royals that day. Leading off at shortstop, Alcides Escobar.
Vern, you want to know what I love about this? I love that every analytic and every metric told you, please don't do that. The Royals did it anyway, and it just worked for like 2 years.
They took him out of the lineup in September, and the team tanked. They put Gordo at the top. They had Zobrist at the top for a while. And then Ned said, this ain't working. Let's get back to what works.
Yeah, let's do it.
Batting second, the second baseman, Ben Zobrist.
I loved Ben Zobrist. You always talk about, Vern, a guy who has a professional at-bat. There was nobody on that team who had more professional at-bats than Ben Zobrist. The 2015 Royals do not win the World Series if they don't trade for Ben Zobrist.
Ben Zobrist, to me, was the playoff MVP. He had 10 extra base hits in that postseason alone. Zobrist was outstanding.
And that's back when his wife loved him. Batting third in center field.
F her, man. F her.
I actually have a picture of me, Danny, and Ben Zobrist's wife.
Oh, she's the devil, man.
You know
she's the devil.
You know what? Just for today, I might make that my Twitter avatar. I might make that my picture for today, man.
No, No, that's bad. That's bad karma. She is the devil.
Batting third at center field, Lorenzo Cain.
What a season for Lorenzo Cain, man. You want to talk about playing your best baseball when your team needs it most? Lorenzo Cain that year was incredible.
It was the straw that stirred the drink. It was his injury that ultimately, hindered the team from making the postseason again. Him and Wade Davis getting banged up in 2016, to me, that was a wrap.
Batting fourth, the first baseman, Eric Hosmer. Batting fifth, the designated hitter, Kendrys Morales.
Who would you say is the Kendrys Morales for this team?
There isn't a switch hitter like Kendrys on this team, but the best at bats, I would say, is Yuli Gurriel right now. It would be Vinny if he was healthy, but Vinny too banged up. So Yuli's giving you that, and a fellow Cuban giving you that outstanding plate appearance.
Batting sixth at third base, Mike Moustakas.
Moose.
What a day. Yo, where's the guy who used to bring the antlers to the game? Is he coming to the game today? He's got to be at the game today.
I haven't seen that guy. He would cruise through Kauffman's parking lot with his Jeep, always wearing those moose gloves and holding up those antlers. I mean, you can't just put those out to the curb when you're done with them. You don't just throw away moose antlers, do you? They got to be somewhere.
No, you can't do this. You know what? I bet he's not the only person. Some people, tonight's game is going to be the first time they've been at Kauffman Stadium, probably since this game.
C-Dot, I can't tell you, every night on the post game for about 2 weeks, it's, hey, Vern, haven't listened to your show in 10 years, man. Nice to be back. No, you're gonna see a lot of people. You're like, hey, man, good to see you. Hopefully, obviously, you're doing well.
By the way, you can't bring in an unopened water bottle, but Moose Antler guy walked through security, no issue.
100%. 100%. That is crazy.
Batting seventh, the catcher, Salvador Perez.
It's so wild to me that Salvador Perez was in that lineup and in the lineup today. Just, it's still, think about how many guys from that team are just not in baseball anymore. Salvi's still one of the five best catchers in the league a decade later.
He's better now than he was then. He's better at 34 than he was at 24. It's amazing.
Wow.
Batting eighth.
You called him Jay-Z.
Right.
Batting eighth, the left fielder, Alex Gordon.
This might have been the last good Alex Gordon we got. This was definitely the end. This was the end. This was the last Alex Gordon we got. I'm telling you, Alex Gordon hit that home run. It was over after that, man. It was done.
Hey, man. Bank account doing well.
Oh, it was a great. It was a great. It was whenever it was good with Alex, boy, it was great.
Oh, man. And it's all good now.
And your nine hitter that day in right field, Alex Rios.
Alex, now I don't have to ask you who's the Alex Rios of this team. They got about five candidates for that.
Yeah.
They got a lot of guys.
They certainly do. Alex Rios, though, that's a cool dude, though. That's a smooth, smooth brother.
Oh, 100%. That was our random lineup. That was the lineup the last time that the Royals hosted a playoff game. Vern, what is it like to be back in this environment and just knowing what the next, you know, 4-5 hours are going to be? I was talking to a Royals employee earlier today. He told me that they are anticipating 41,000 people being out at the game today. So standing rooms, like, they're going to pack in as many people into that stadium. What is it like? You've been out there from some of the nights where it was maybe 6,000-8,000 people out there. Now, a decade later, we're talking about, I mean, this is the hottest ticket in sports right now, it feels like.
Yeah, it's wild. Obviously, playing the Yankees has a lot to do with it. That, you know, it's just so different. I guess maybe it's similar to ALCS, maybe that ALDS Game 3 in 2014. It's, you know, every person that I've passed so far at Kauffman Stadium, the workers that I see every day, the people that I make the strongest relationships with out here at the stadium, we're all just looking at each other like, can you believe that we're back? 2014, you know, no, it wasn't surprising that we were here to play a wild card game. They were a winning team in 2013. They should be a winning team in 2014. Now, to win the wild card game, to win those extra inning affairs in Anaheim. Okay, maybe there was some surprise when the boys got back for Game 3 against the Angels, but nothing like this. They've been on the road for, what, 17 days? Honestly, man, I think the crowd's big tonight. Not only have these guys been going nonstop for 8 months now, but again, a 2.5-week road trip. You know, I've heard plenty of former players and broadcasters tell me, you know, it's not the day you get back from a long road trip where you're grinding. It's the next day. It's after you come home and your dad and husband and you clean up around the house and you get a night's sleep in your own bed. It's the next day where that grind, that fatigue really starts to set in. So I understand it's the playoffs and these guys have their childhood dreams right in front of them, but there will be a player or two whose fuel tank is low. That's where the 41,000 needs to be gasoline tonight.
Right now, we're talking to our guy, Josh Vernier. Vern, do you agree, and you were in the middle of this, the Chiefs have had an incredible run, maybe as great of a run of any team that we've seen this side of the New England Patriots in the last 30 years. But just living here, there is always going to be a cloud around the 14 and 15 teams, and a lot of the things that the Royals, excuse me, that the Chiefs have accomplished, it just gets compared to how you felt in 14 and 15. And for us to be in this same place a decade later, Eric Hosmer coming back to throw out the first pitch, his little man is coming out there to throw the first pitch with him. Like, it really feels like time is a flat circle, and now we are back to, hey, everybody is excited about Royals baseball again for the first time in a decade.
Yeah, and that's baseball in the everyday nature of it. But you know, it's different now because, like you mentioned, 14 and 15 are always going. 14 is always going to stand alone for anyone that was here because we're all different sports fans. We're a different sports city with the World Cup and everything else. You know, the draft. It's just such a far cry from where Kansas City was in 2014, how we thought of ourselves as a city, as a sports city, how we thought of this organization and where they fit in Major League Baseball, where the Chiefs were and where they fit in the National Football League. Now, Kansas City walks into every season, every sport, every team and says, are you winning? If yes, we'll make more noise than any other town in the country. If not, we're going to the winners, thanks, but no thanks. So I just don't think we'll ever be able to recreate what 2014 felt like around the city. But I'll tell you this, if this team can take care of the Yankees, I see Detroit right now on top of Cleveland 1-0 in the second inning. If that ALCS happens at Kauffman Stadium, I think then we'll get as close to 2014 as we've been because, you know, the way that the fan base knew everything about Hosmer and Moustakas and Salvi and they watched them all grow up. Obviously, that can't happen with this team with so many new faces, guys that have, you know, been here for 2 months or 4 months or 6 months. Not a lot of homegrown talent, certainly not as much as there was back in 2014. But you win on this stage, You've had enough people finding Royals baseball on TBS or on the HBO Max app, whatever it might be. Those relationships, I think, are beginning to form. You're starting to learn the intricacies of each one of these players and those bonds, right? The Michael Garcia fan club is back. There's a Vinny Pasquantino fan club, a Kyle Isbell, Michael Massey's growing his fan base, Angel Zerpa, right? It's no longer come see Bobby and Salvi and a bunch of guys you never heard of. Now those relationships are starting to grow, I feel, at least.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. He will be on the show every day as long as baseball season is still ongoing. You mentioned Salvi and Bobby. I led the show with this earlier today. I think today is a lot about Salvador Perez, who has had the opportunity to walk away numerous times. Last year, if Salvi accepts a trade, I don't think anybody in Kansas City faults him for doing it, but he has never wavered in, I want to play for the Royals. You follow this game very closely, Vern. I mean, players just don't really do what Bobby Witt Jr. did. They don't give up free agency. Everybody almost always sees free agency, sees what's out there, and then eventually moves on to a bigger market. The fact that when presented with the opportunity of, hey, you can go play for the Yankees, you can go play for the Rangers, both of those guys chose to stay in Kansas City because they knew that this day was going to come sooner rather than later. And Salvi has certainly been here through thick and thin. And Bobby Witt Jr., I mean, it feels like just yesterday you were saying, hey, this guy's got a chance to be the next Patrick Mahomes. And now 2 years later, he's one of the five best baseball players on the planet, and he's set to make his postseason debut at Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah, the Bobby offseason contract is obviously a testament to him and his family and what's important to him, no doubt about it. Also, right, he wasn't broke growing up, so he, and I hate to say that the contract, $300 million, is a hometown deal, but yeah, Bob, after this season, Bobby could ask for the moon, right? $400, $500, $600 million after putting up an MVP type of campaign. But also, it's a reflection on ownership in the front office. I think that's something that I'm not expecting the 41,000 in attendance tonight to consider, but you know, everything that JJ and John Sherman said they would do to Bobby, to Salvi, they've done, right? An evaluation season where we grind through 106 losses, abide by the results, and the Royals front office certainly did that. As far as Salvi, now, the organization has always done, for the most part, a really good job of taking care of Salvi, and he's returned that favor. You mentioned he had opportunities to walk away, whether that's, you know, via a trade, not sign an extension, wait for a free agent. He also had the opportunity to walk away in a meaningless game in August in 2018 or 2021 or 2023. He could have easily gone to the training staff and said, you know what's bothering me? Pick one of them and put me on the IL. You know, my knee, my shoulder, my back, my concussion, whatever it might be. Pick one of my many injuries and put me on the IL. I want 2 weeks off. I'm sick of losing with these, you know, awful pitchers that you're making me catch and the brutal defense that we have in front of me. But now Salvi never did that. Salvi continued to pressure Ned Yost and Mike Matheny and Matt Quatrero to try and play every single day. And he did so with a smile, with the fans and their entertainment. And the opportunity that he has as a 34-year-old man out of Venezuela, he never lost sight of the opportunity and who he's playing for. Not just his family, but also the fans. Yeah, no doubt about it. Tonight is about Salvi, and that will be, without question, the biggest pop you hear at Kauffman Stadium when his name is announced a little after 5:40.
Vern, let's talk about tonight's game specifically. I think this game kind of boils down to the pitching matchup. On one side, you have an all-star in Seth Lugo. The other side, you have Clark Schmidt, who, I mean, he's only gone six innings just two times this season. He hasn't done that since May 16th. I mean, if momentum is only as strong as your next day starting pitcher, the Royals have maybe the biggest advantage that any team has today in Major League Baseball with their starter going up against the other team. Maybe you could argue the Padres because the Dodgers have no clue who their pitcher is tonight.
Yeah, that's a fair point with Seth Lugo. Clark Schmidt does have quality stuff, or else Aaron Boone wouldn't be going to him. But obviously, Boone will pull the ripcord quickly because he has another starter in that bullpen, like the Royals do with Singer. The Yankees have a hard-throwing righty who was, in my opinion, the American League Rookie of the Year for the first half of the season in Luis Gil. The thing is with Clark Schmidt is if he can quiet the mechanism, right? If he can silence the 41,000 and execute his pitches, his arsenal's good enough to give New York 4 or 5 quality innings and keep them in this game. But for a young man, 28, but for a young man making his postseason, well, not his postseason debut, but his first starts in the postseason, to do so at Kauffman Stadium in the city's first playoff game in 9 years, that first inning could get bumpy. And with Bobby and Salvi due up in the first, that could be all she wrote. So if that cutter and sweeper and curve and all that stuff with action that Clark Schmidt is throwing, if he's not finding the zone and the Royals can lay off, make them come to you, if the Royals offense can do just that, this thing could get loud and Clark Schmidt's night could end very quickly.
What do you think of the decision for Adam Frazier to be included in the lineup? I know that he doesn't have a postseason at bat so far, but of all the players on this team, he has had the most success against Clark Schmidt. Is that too small of a sample size, or do you think Q's kind of playing a hunch here and it kind of rolling with, I don't want to say the hot hand, but I mean, certainly the matchup is in Frazier's favor.
Right, and this season, lefties have fared better against Schmidt for his career, even more so. And listen, it's not as if, oh, he hit a home run off of him 3 years ago. No, he faced him twice last season as he played in the American League East with the Orioles and had, like you mentioned, quite a bit of success against him. He's been a fine defensive right fielder and hitting in the 8 spot tonight. He maybe sees 2 at-bats. And you see him hitting between, you have Kyle Isbell in there, MJ Melendez in there. You have Michael Massey, a lot of lefties. So you would imagine late in the game, Tim Hill is going to come out of that Yankees bullpen. And Adam Frazier is likely pinch hit for a big swing and bat in Tommy Pham or Hunter Renfroe. So, yeah, why not? Listen, this is what Q's done all season. He's, as he said at his introductory press conference, we're looking for the 51-49%. We're always going to err on the side of the 51% and hope that the numbers work out for us.
Right now, we're talking to our guy, Josh Vernier. We talk about the pitching matchup. We looked at it through the Yankee perspective. How do you think Seth Lugo fits against this Yankees lineup? He's had a lot of success against a majority of their lineup, but that's the regular season. This is the postseason. Right. It's always a different beast. Managers are usually a little bit quicker to give the hook in these scenarios than they are in the regular season. How do you feel about Seth Lugo today? And let's say in the first, 10 pitches, maybe first inning. When will you know if Seth Lugo has his good stuff today?
Oh, boy. Well, as far as how I feel about Seth Lugo, I feel exactly how you described it, that the Royals have the most stark pitching advantage in all of Major League Baseball today. Yankees have done a great job of, like I mentioned, forcing the pitcher to come to them. They've done a great job of drawing walks. Now, I understand the Royals have issued a few that were not necessarily earned by New York batters, but Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, you better be careful with those guys. And Seth Lugo has shown the ability to paint all season long, right? Bobby Witt Jr. calls him the surgeon, the way that he's dicing up opponents with his dozen different pitches. So I feel great about Seth Lugo. He was outstanding when he faced this team in New York just about a month ago. And with the crowd on his side, Lugo's not one that I think is going to let the pressure get the best of him. You look at how he performed in Baltimore. He was good. He was fine. He certainly wasn't great, but he was anything but average. He was still well above average, holding the Orioles to 1 run. Q will not, obviously, as you saw with Walker Reagans, he won't hesitate to go to that bullpen, but I look at Lugo as a guy tonight that could see Juan Soto and Aaron Judge a third time, because with that arsenal, with that many different pitches, just because you saw, my good slider and sweeper in the first doesn't mean I even need to go back to those pitches when I see you again in the sixth inning. I feel great about Seth Lugo tonight. I also feel a lot better knowing that if he is just good, suddenly that Royals bullpen is quite the strength.
Vern, give me your key for the Yankees today. Give me your key for the Royals. I'm taking the Royals. Maybe this is just a bias. I just think at home, and you're going to give me the pitching advantage. And I also think that the talent between these two teams, and it seems crazy to think, it's maybe not as big as I thought it was coming into this series. Like, these two teams look fairly even to me. And with the uncertainty around Aaron Judge in the postseason, I just don't know how much I can rely on that Yankees lineup. I'm going to give the Royals a slight edge in today's game. Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm certainly there. I'm giving the Royals the edge. I think last time I checked, it's not plus odds tonight, so the Royals are as favored as they've been so far in this series. The key to tonight's game, in my opinion, for the Royals, it's going to be base running. I think Michael Garcia, Bobby Witt Jr., and this team's ability to take the extra 90 feet in this ballpark will be the difference for Kansas City. Vice versa, the way that the Yankees win this game is by wearing out the opposite field. If they're sitting back doing what they were doing at the Bronx, swinging for the fences, it's going to be a long day. Stringing together base hits against Seth Lugo is no easy feat, but if you're trying to get big against a guy that's attempting to use your ego against you, you're going to look like a fool up there in the box. So if the Yankees can play some small ball, hit to the opposite field, I know Soto and Judge can do it. I know Austin Wells can do it. We'll see if a guy like Jazz Chisholm, Giancarlo Stanton, Alex Verdugo, we'll see if they can take what Lugo gives them. If so, this will be another classic in the latter innings.
Are you a frozen lemonade guy or a frozen malt guy?
Neither one. No. If I'm getting something cold, I'm going to get the ice cream with two cookies where it's like an ice cream sandwich. I'm going to get one of those bad boys.
That is our guy, Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today. Vern, man, I look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Absolutely. That is Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show. We will talk to him every day remaining in baseball season. Keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up in about 15 to 20 minutes or so, Rex Hudler is going to join us on the show. There is nobody to better get you excited for Game 3 of the ALDS between the Royals and the Yankees and our dear friend Rex Hudler. He will be on the show coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Rob, I am curious to get your thoughts on this to see if you agree or if your thoughts are aligned with me. To me, this game isn't as much about Bobby Witt Jr. We'll talk more specifically about him, how he's just off to a slow start in the series. It's not necessarily also about Aaron Judge, who has gotten off to a slow start. I think that this game it's really about Clark Schmidt. This is a really pivotal game, a really important game for the New York Yankees, and you were throwing somebody out there who you don't think has the ability to go deep into this game. So it's really twofold. It's you don't think that your starter is going to go very deep in this game. He has only pitched into the sixth inning three times this year and hasn't done so since May. So that's not what he is. I mean, his last five appearances, four innings, five and a third, five innings, five and two-thirds, four and two-thirds. He hasn't pitched since September 29th. So you're talking about a little bit of a gap between this. Is there a little rust? Are you sharp? What do you look like in here? And the Royals have clearly built their lineup around who's starting for the Yankees today. Adam Frazier has not started a game yet. I don't believe he's had an at-bat so far in this postseason. He's starting today because of the success that he's had against Clark Schmidt. He is 4-for-8. He has a home run, also has two doubles. Yuli Gurriel also hit a home run against him a couple of years ago. Like, the Royals are, I think, prepared for Clark Schmidt today, and their plan is to try to beat him up as early as they can in this and try to get to that Yankees lineup. There is no day off tomorrow, so how does that affect how you're going to handle your bullpen? Are you going to bring a guy out there to pitch two and a third inning, knowing that there isn't that off day between game three and game four the way there is for game five? They're sort of the game within the game and the strategy about how you want to manage this series over the next two, possibly 4 days of this series. But how the Yankees and how the Royals handle Clark Schmidt, I think that is the storyline for today's game.
I think it's the game within the game because you said it there at the end perfectly. The Royals are playing tomorrow. There is a game the next day. There's no off day. So if you can, you know, rattle Schmidt or, you know, get some runs off Schmidt, if you can force the Yankees' hand to pull Schmidt early, there is a cumulative effect. What happens today could affect tomorrow in a positive light for the Royals. The inverse is true, too. If Schmidt is out there and he's cruising along and he goes 6-7 and it looks like game two did for the Yankees and they bring two guys, or game one, bring a couple guys out of the pen and they move on, that puts you in a bad spot tomorrow. Like, I know it's because we bet on it, but we were watching Aaron Nola against the Mets yesterday and we were both saying, you can't pitch him in the fifth. Even though he's only giving up two, you knew, oh, he's rattled. He's going to have hard hit balls. There was a sense, there was a feel, he's not ready for the next inning. Maybe the Royals don't score seven off Schmidt, but if you can get him rattled and get a feel of, hey, we can't trust him out there in the fifth or sixth, and you can get him pulled early, there is a cumulative effect that could really help this team down the line.
And I think in line with what you just said, that goes into game four with Gerrit Cole. If you can turn this into a bullpen game, and let's say you get Schmidt run in the third inning, and now they really have to tax that bullpen, how do you handle Gerrit Cole tomorrow if you also get into trouble? I mean, the Royals' chance of winning this series, I would say right now their best chance of winning this series, and it's always a moving target because the series is always evolving, it's how do you handle Clark Schmidt today? Does he go 4 2/3 and you get four earned runs off him, and now your bullpen, your crowd is into it, and you can really pounce, and then you take the advantage, and then tomorrow you have an opportunity where you just got to win one more game to advance to the next round of the postseason? Or does Clark Schmidt come out there and perform really well? He have a really good start. He gives you 5 1/3, maybe gets to 6 innings here. He has a really good start, and then I would say in some ways the advantage shifts back to the New York Yankees. I mean, we hear these stats all the time about game three and how pivotal they are. I mean, in a best of five series, the reason that the Royals are in this spot is because they broke home field advantage. They were able to go on the road and beat the Yankees in game two. You can't now turn around and give that advantage back and allow the Yankees to win game three, and now they got two chances to win one.
100% agree. And you and Vern have said it. Everyone have said it. No offense to Schmidt, but the Royals have an all-star on the mound today. The Royals have a guy that me and you in June had a conversation on the show. Hey, is this a Cy Young candidate type of guy? And yeah, he won't win the award. He fell off a little bit in the second half, but he still had a very good season. The saying in baseball is you're only as good as the next day starter. The Royals' next day starter is better than the Yankees. You broke home field. You have a chance to put their backs against the wall heading into a game. It doesn't matter if Gerrit Cole on the mound. Their backs are against the wall. You need to take advantage of the advantage you have in this game. And it's more than just getting Schmidt to fret. It's Seth Lugo needs to be the Seth Lugo we saw in May. The Seth Lugo we saw in April. I mean, I know it was the White Sox, but in August, he threw a complete game. He needs to be that version tonight. And maybe the Yankees start squeezing the bat a little tighter because they feel they're up against the wall.
Earlier, we asked Vern about this, about the decision to include Frazier in the lineup. Here's what Vern said.
Lefties have fared better against Schmidt for his career, even more so. And listen, it's not as if, oh, he hit a home run off of him 3 years ago. No, he faced him twice last season as he played in the American League East with the Orioles and had, like you mentioned, quite a bit of success against him. He's been a fine defensive right fielder and hitting in the eight spot tonight. He maybe sees two at-bats. And you see him hitting between, you know, you have Kyle Isbell in there, MJ Melendez in there. You have Michael Massey, a lot of lefties. So you would imagine late in the game, Tim Hill is going to come out of that Yankees bullpen and Adam Frazier's likely pinch hit for a big swing and bat in Tommy Pham or Hunter Renfro. So, yeah, why not? Listen, this is what Q's done all season. He's, as he said at his introductory press conference, we're looking for the 51-49%. We're always going to err on the side of the 51% and hope that the numbers work out for us.
So that was Josh Vernier, who was on the show earlier today talking about the decision to start Adam Frazier. He is 4-for-8. He has hit a home run, also has two doubles off of the Yankee starter today in Clark Schmidt. I mean, he is, I think, arguably the worst starter that is pitching today in the postseason. We still don't know about the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers have not announced who is pitching for them today. And for a team that needs to win today in order to prolong their season, the fact that the Dodgers have no clue who their starting pitcher is going to be is certainly very interesting. All right, for those of you that are going out to Kauffman Stadium, I want to share with you coming up at the top of the hour what a Royals employee told me earlier today based on how many people they are expecting out at the game. And Rob, Aramark is announcing a couple of new food options out at Kauffman Stadium. You know we love to play this game. Is this something that you would eat? I know it is going to be a great crowd out there. It's going to be a very, very special environment out at Kauffman Stadium. I think all of us are hoping for, expecting a Royals win today over the New York Yankees. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll tell you what new food options they're going to have at the K tonight, and we'll continue to get you ready for Game 3 of the postseason. Keep it right here. So drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.